How's it going? There we go. I'm gonna see some faces. Did I get tarred, Holy Bar? Did I get tarred? Oh, my stinking hands. Yeah. Yeah, embarrassing. You know what? A chimney guy should never have tar on his hands, because a chimney guy should never use tar. But when you get in a pinch and something's leaking and it's wet, you know, and the only thing that sticks to wet crap is tar. So yeah, got tarred. That's horrible. Horrible stuff. Tarred. Better than tarred and feathered, though, Holly. Like real old school tarred and feathered, man. About to kill you. Andre, how you doing, man? Candace? Let's see, Candace. We need to chat about Boma. Yeah, chat about Boma. I didn't forget about that, but that's another one on my list. Rubbing alcohol, Holly. Yeah, I'll get it off. Rubbing alcohol or goof off or something. It happens. I could provide the feathers. I'd be a bit more cleaned up, but I just got home 15 minutes ago, jumped in the shower and bada bing. Hey, Dave Barnes, how's it going? Hey, Maria. All right, guys, so I will chat. I hope everyone had a decent day. The weather was nice, right? And looking at my phone, weather for this coming week, you know, should be halfway decent, kind of hit and miss, I suppose. But it's cool, man. I'll take it. I'm tired of that pouring down rain. And here it is, 6 o'clock. It's still like plenty light. So you could probably, you know, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock now, I'm sure, before it is dark. Yeah. Okay. So, council meeting last night. There wasn't a great deal, but there were a couple of interesting things. So Holly Beyer, Candace and Andre, you guys commented on my thing. Holly Beyer, broken back. Holly asking about comments on the sign. On the Joe sign, it's better than the F sign. Candace, yes, about COVID, the COVID cases. Andre Bay, feeding folks, huh? Well, yeah, there's no city ordinance, Andre, that's gonna hurt you for barbecuing, and you're just giving it away, dude. Yeah, there's not going to be anything there that the city gives you a hard time about. And the, you know, everything with COVID and corona restrictions, that's, you know, the city's not an enforcement arm of that. So I bet you're good. That's cool, man. Let me know, Andre, when you're doing it. That'd be kind of cool to stop by. I know you've done it before. And, oh, you said you did before. Fed 50. Wow. Wow, that's cool, man. I would imagine, you know, if you're concerned at all about having a big gathering, even though it's outside, you know. I would imagine that your folks are gonna kind of trickle in, get something to eat, and trickle out, right? It's not like you have 50 people standing there. So, I bet you're fine. Corona cases, Candace. So, Candace and everyone else that's interested. What I have is the press release that I'm sure is the same thing that you have. But the spike in cases that we've seen. What's interesting is how few of them are from South County. So, between February 16th and February 22nd, there were 36 new cases in Curry County. of those cases, only 4 were South County, 5 were North County, and 27 were Central County. The majority of these cases were related to previously reported cases. Total cases now at 44. So the majority of the new cases stemming from the the flux of cases we had before, and that's kind of what I would assume, what I would have assumed. But it's nice knowing that for sure. So, Candace, if you didn't get that last press release, tell me, and I'll send it to you. Yeah, moderate, guys. Hopefully that's you guys hear that car alarm going off? Hopefully that's it, guys. Hopefully moderate, is it. I don't know. We'll see. It's stinking Central County, man. Way to help the old Mason-Dixon lines, I could see, obviously most of us are all down here. And are we, we're playing by the rules and wearing masks, but some Central and North County folks are going to make our restaurants close. But I'm sure they're in the same spot we're in, and we could be the next spike down here. Can they sit in my yard to eat, Andre? Well, yeah, man, I would imagine so, buddy. Andre, you're not doing anything other than, barbecue. Stinking, backyard barbecue, man. Yeah, I wouldn't worry anything about it, Andre. I mean, if you had that many people there, dude, I'd appreciate it if you, try to space folks out. Keep them away from each other a little bit, try to thin them in and out and scatter, spread out on your yard. Maria, Central County would be considered Gold Beach. I know, so South County is Pistol River down, so Central's probably Pistol River to Nasika Beach is what I would bet. And then North County, the rest. Yeah. So, that's that. Council meeting. Before our public council meeting, we met in executive session. And so, Holly Beyer, you asked me about comments from the sign, from your sign, on the Meadow Lane sign. There were no comments from city councilors during the public meeting. The executive session, Bob Dylan was playing at Andre's. You know who he needs to have stinking Silas playing at Andre's, man. Our executive session was for real estate and talking to the attorney for client attorney privilege stuff, litigation likely to be filed. Considering information or records that are exempt by law from public inspection. So I was all today, I was trying to figure out how to kind of relate, especially because the councilors didn't make any public comment about the Meadow Lane sign, or the broken window at the dem office. Trying to figure out how to talk kind of about our exec session without breaking any rules. Okay, but I can tell you that if you guys remember me mentioning, speaking of the sign and freedom of speech and the city's inability to regulate content, I mentioned how I wanted a written memorandum from the city attorney and I was going to see if I could just public, offer it to the public. A client attorney privilege, it's okay for the client to waive the confidentiality and share it. Yeah, boy, exec session. So I can tell you that the council We're not publishing that memorandum from the city attorney. We're not going to publish it. Not going to offer it to the public. I think there was kind of a sentiment that it would be really unusual to do that, which is true, and not definitely not keeping with precedents, and kind of a worry of, I don't know, a worry of making things worse, or is some of what I heard. I asked for it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. The memorandum is it's nothing like shocking or super secret. The whole thing was like a page and a half long, and half of the first page is the heading. So it was only like four stinking paragraphs. Okay. And I'll describe it for you. It's pretty much, it shouldn't be any news to anyone. Describing the Oregon State Constitution is actually one of the I don't know how to say it, strictest state constitutions, but it's a state constitution that prizes and holds freedom of speech very, very highly. The state of Oregon does, more so than other states. So she referenced a couple other things and told us kind of what we already knew, that we can't regulate content. And that was, you can tell us what it said, we won't tell anyone, promise. Yeah. It didn't say much. I thought, you know, because there was a lot of folks ticked about it, because there was questions about the city's role in it, and the city permitting it, like actually giving a permit for it, not giving, but, you know, providing the permit for the sign. You know, there was a question there, right? And so I was hoping just to be able to share it with the public and say, see, you know, this is what it is. This is what we're dealing with. But council didn't want to share it. I wouldn't be surprised if parts of it kind of wind up in a weekly report, and the next week's weekly report would be kind of like, the city manager probably would put quotes and put a paragraph or two in the weekly report of it. So if I see it in the weekly report, that thing's public and I can share it. So much public outrage. It feels wrong to me. Candace, I'm assuming you're talking about, it feels wrong to you that counselors didn't speak about it, and didn't really offer much, you know, about it. Yeah, I can't tell you what was said in executive session. You know, obviously, Candace, you don't want to hear this from me. You want to hear it from the rest of the counselors. You've already heard it from me. You've already heard about what I thought about the sign. But like I've said before, you know, everything I've heard from the council, every counselor, nobody likes that sign. Some of us, you know, you got five totally different people, and some of us view speech and the freedom of speech and expression, we hold that in a different regard than other counselors, you know. But there was not a counselor that liked the sign. Nobody liked the sign, and we wanted to, you know, if we could regulate content, we would have, and there wouldn't be signs like that up there. Traveling Road Dogs, how do you get the weekly report? You go on the city's website and sign up for it, give them their email address, and you just get it emailed to you every week. Weekly report's cool. You know, it's fairly short. It's a weekly report to the city council, and then we began offering it publicly a few years ago. It just mentioned, you know, bullet points from the different departments. There's some cool, you know, I like looking at it for a few numbers things. Like the police department always references how many stops, how many tickets, medical transports from Pelican Bay. The fire department always lists anything they did that week. You know, there's good info in there. There's good info in there. So just sign up for it. Maria, maybe a way to look at this moving forward would be to not grant permits for political signs past the seventh day after election. Is that what the regular limit is? Maria, I believe it is 60 days before and 7 days after. The issue, though, you know, not permitting political signs is the same as not permitting signs. So the only political part, the only reason that a political sign or a campaign sign is somehow different when this conversation comes up is that by state law, that those campaign signs are exempt from local oversight for 60 days before, and then I'm not sure if it's 7 or 14 after. Other than that, all signs, and whether a sign is, you might define a political sign differently than what I would define a political sign, and vice versa, and all of us. So, we couldn't just discriminate against political signs and then we'd have to define what a political sign is, therefore regulating content. So it sucks. It's a tough one, guys. And, hopefully it's not a normal thing. You know, hopefully just every so often you see some bonehead that doesn't really, you know, care much about decency. Yeah. Feelings and law are two different things, Andre. Yeah, thanks for the reminder. I know, Candace, you're sad about the council's reaction to that and not hearing anything from them. It's not my job to defend them. I know the feeling and the sentiment that oftentimes saying less is more. Saying less is the best thing. Doing less is the best thing. And so I get that. And I'll, you know, if any one of them that had that frame of mind and that's the reason they didn't want to comment and keep it going, you know, like keep the community conversation about it going, I can relate with them not wanting to bring it up. There wasn't anybody. I was expecting to see a number of speakers, you know, but there wasn't. No one spoke about the sign. No one spoke about the dim window. Yeah, Dave Barnes, that's interesting. The law would require you to defend his right to freedom of speech. That's interesting. So, back on the council. Yeah, I guess I don't really know what else to say about that. You can ask him. It keeps sending the message that our concern doesn't matter. Candace. Yeah, I don't know. I wish they would have said something, at least a couple of them. I've been in that spot. I've been in that spot where I didn't say anything and I didn't really communicate too much with the public, especially in this way, you know? And at that time, you know, thinking about it, it seemed to me to be the best thing to do. And because, just because I didn't say anything about it, I mean, you can believe this or not, but it wasn't a lack of care for anyone and everyone that was upset about whatever the topic was. It really wasn't. And I can tell you that there's been a lot of times where we're in a spot where, I want to say something. They, you know, the council wants to say something. We want to share information, share a story, give background information, but we are bound to not to. Yeah. Dave is spot on. Your oath says you will protect the banner on the fence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. And that's why we would. And that's why we would enforce any sort of vandalism against that sign, or someone stole that sign or anything like that. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta protect it too. That's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that. Andre, that reminds me, man. I saw somewhere where you have a bunch of boxes of those, you know, those like 3 by maybe 6 inch Constitution like packets. And the ones that I've had before had the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and then it had like maybe half a dozen to 10 different speeches that happened. They must have happened like on the floor of the Continental Congress. You know, it was the big ones, like Patrick Henry, had some stuff from George Washington. Anyway, if I'm right in my recollection that you're the one that has those and you have boxes of them, I need to snag like half a dozen from you. Yeah, half a dozen, 10, Andre. Maria, I appreciate that. And because I do care. And I know some of the other counselors care, you know. I mean, there might be a difference as far as who's cared for exactly and what the care is, but everyone was concerned about that sign. Everyone saw that sign as just a crappy deal, you know, is kind of a too bad, but the guy's exercising his rights. So that was it. That's that. Next, the council meeting we had, the Brookings Harbor Homeless Task Force came again and did something really kind of interesting and kind of moving. They both Michelle, Carol, and Diana spoke. Candace. All right. I should have waited for a little bit. Candace, Michelle. So just to be clear, if dozens of signs started appearing with F. Joe Whaley, there will be no consequences. Oh. Well, there's no... if you put a sign up in your yard with profanities, that is within your constitutional freedom of speech right. So... if you put up a bunch of signs that say that, though, your consequences wouldn't come from the city. Yeah, definitely no city consequences. Okay, Diana and Michelle. So they spoke, and they when Diana was speaking, Michelle put big poster boards with pictures of deceased homeless individuals, like I wanted to say most of them were fairly recently deceased. And Diana, you guys are on. I don't remember exactly how many you had, but just spoke about them, gave their stories, talked about them. A moving part for me was I recognized more than what I thought. Like I knew the tool guy, the guy with the hats and tools. I knew he had passed away, but I see these pictures, you know, of these other guys, and it's like, what, man, that guy died, you know, like, oh, that guy's name was Terry, or that's the guy that died on the skateboard, you know, it's crazy. It was moving. You know, I don't care to talk about homeless derelict drug addicts necessarily, okay? But anybody that walks up to the hat and tool guy and speaks to him for like 4 minutes would realize that there's a serious handicap there. There's a serious mental handicap there. And that guy died for no other reason than he's on the street without any help. Yeah. And Terry was around here for a long time too. Yeah. Anyway, it was moving. I thought it was moving. It was a good, good public comment. If you guys pull up the video, public comments were near the beginning and you could watch it. So it was good. It was a moving story.
The other thing that we did for the council meeting, we met as the Urban Renewal Agency, and we approved reinstituting the facade improvement program. And what that is if you have you have a business in the urban renewal area, which is pretty much all of Chetco Ave, you know, the downtown area. Let's see, it's Chetco Ave North. I think it goes to 5th Street. No, it's further than that. The downtown core area is from Oak to Fern, between Chetco Ave and a railroad. So think, you know, Chetco Ave to the ocean, downtown core area. So if you have a business and you want to paint it, or you want to redo the siding, or you want to just do whatever, spruce the outside of the building up, the city will match up to $25,000 in the cost of doing your project. So this is something we did a few years ago. We bumped it up a little bit just because we did $20,000 a year. We did $20,000 10 or 15 years ago. So we're up to 25 now. Business owners, you know, come up with a plan, you want to reside and paint your building, you get a bid from a contractor for $50,000, you can get 25 of it from the city, paid for by urban renewal funds. So before it clicks in everyone's mind, you know, $25,000 for a business to repaint their building, like $25,000 can do a lot other places. Well, urban renewal monies were held to what we can spend it on. Candace, Oak to Fern, Chetco and Railroad. I don't know. That's not right. It's not right. Because the core area it encompasses the post office. Man, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on that. But it is. It's roughly like, you know, Oak, Alder Oak, Chetco Ave to the ocean, that area down there, Spruce Street, Hemlock, you know, that's all kind of where the downtown street improvements were made, the one-way streets and then all the ones in between. So, center. No, Candace, I don't think the core is actually to Center Street. I don't know. I'll look at the map. It's the downtown core area is smaller than the urban renewal area. So the urban renewal area is bigger and covers quite a bit more. So really what we were talking about, future urban renewal projects. We wanted to get a couple of them set, because we're starting budget meetings. So we approved the facade improvement program. And then we instructed staff to go out to bid, leftover sidewalk, orphan sidewalk infill projects down there, in the same area, Railroad Avenue, to finish out the project. When we did the big project down there a few years ago, it was like $4 million, did the roads and everything. There wasn't quite enough money to finish everything, that we wanted to finish. So doing the infill sidewalks, that'll wrap it all together so the project's actually done. So far we just have those two. Orphan sidewalk, Maria. I'll explain that because that's a good one. Just those two urban renewal projects we solidified and took council action on so we could move forward. And then still chewing on other stuff, what we could do in the future. So that was it. That was it for the council meeting. Maria, what an orphan sidewalk is if you drive around town, you can see streets, you can find streets without sidewalks, and you're driving, and all of a sudden in front of a brand new house, there's a sidewalk that just runs the length of their property, and there's a barricade on each end. It's an orphan sidewalk. It's a sidewalk that goes to nowhere. And the reason that we have those is because it's a requirements that we put on developers. If you have an undeveloped piece of ground, you build a house on it, you're required to put, you know, half street improvements out in front of your house. So you're required to put a sidewalk there. So you have a bunch of, you have an old neighborhood that's been built before all those standards were there, so there's no sidewalk. You know, a couple lots get developed in the neighborhood with new homes, and they have to do those sidewalks, and so you just wind up with this little orphan sidewalk, and we have a bunch of them around town. Yeah, lots of them up there, Holly Byer by you. Yeah, it's crazy. We've changed how we require the half street improvement situation, because it was just, that's all it was creating, was a bunch of orphan sidewalks and just a bunch of unfinished things around town. So that's it, guys. Today's Tuesday. That's kind of funny. Yeah, Maria. Yeah, it is. What, you know what the craziest thing is, some of those orphan sidewalks, the wood barricades that were there are like long rotted away. I mean, the sidewalk's been there forever. Ed Schreiber, urban renewal area, Dairy Queen to Easy Street. No, that's not accurate, Ed. That's not accurate. I'll look before I get back on, and I'll bring it back up. Okay, guys, so I am going to see you, I'm going to see you Thursday at 6. I was thinking about maybe somebody to bring on, if I think of somebody tomorrow or something to join me on Thursday, then I'll have a guest. If not, it'll be just me. All right, so I'll see you guys Thursday, 6 o'clock.